God Almighty, we thank you. You are here with us this morning, and because you are present, our lives are different. We know that living with you is a different life than living without you. So we thank you for all that you have done that has gone before in our lives, all that you are doing in this present moment, and all that will come in the future days ahead. You are the God of yesterday, today, and tomorrow. We acknowledge you as being our risen, resurrected Savior, the one who calls us from the grave, the one who calls us by name, and gives us the promise of everlasting and eternal life. I thank you for your people today, each of them, Lord, on the path of life that you have given to us. Be present, Lord, we pray, in decisions we must make, in the feelings that we have, and of course, in our discipleship with you. I pray this morning, as the servant of your people, Lord, that what you have given to me to share with them might go a long way to deepening their discipleship with you, our friend and our Savior always. And it is in your name, the name of Jesus, that we pray. And all the people of God said, a mighty amen. Finding satisfaction, we are sharing together in our sermon series all about prayer. And Hannah's prayer is one where she, through the journey and the course of events within her life, learns to find satisfaction. Among the many successful and famous songs of the rock and roll genre, the Rolling Stones have produced a song that stays with us yet even today, which is called Satisfaction, and it will be right up there as being one of their best and most memorable songs. You know the song, don't you? Yes? I can't get no satisfaction? Is that ringing a bell? Are you with me this morning, my friends? Yes? I can't get no satisfaction because I try. You can just see Mick Jagger, right? I try and I try and I try. I can't get no. When I'm driving in my car and a man comes on the radio, he's telling me more and more about some useless information. I guess what was true back in the 60s is still true today, amen? Plenty of useless information out there. Supposed to fire my imagination. I can't get no, oh no, 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 no. Hey, 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 no satisfaction. Satisfaction is one of those difficult things to come by in life. As I learned as I was out at Alpaca Corner earlier on this week, yes, I learned and discovered as the shearers came to town that even the alpacas may have a hard time finding satisfaction. I really, really want to get all of this fur, which I guess is called fiber, if I'm right, the fiber. I want to get all this fur off of me, but I really don't want to get sheared, you know? So it's hard even for an alpaca to find satisfaction. It's difficult to come by. At least I found that to be the case, and I really don't think that I'm different than anyone else. No less for us as it was for those that we read about in God's Word, as Renee shared with us about the life of Hannah. If we dial back God's Word, going to the first book of the Bible, Genesis, we found that was certainly the case for Adam and Eve, for all the things that God had given to them in the garden. They came to a place where they weren't satisfied any longer. And how about Moses? Was he satisfied being the prince of Egypt? Apparently not. Was King Saul content with the advice that he received before engaging the Philistines in battle? No, for he calls upon the witch of Endor to summon Samuel's soul from the grave to give him advice. And trust me, if you read that in the Old Testament, that was not advice that Saul wanted to hear from the prophet Samuel. Was David satisfied when he lusted after Bathsheba? I wouldn't say that he was. Was Jezebel satisfied when she pursued the prophet Elijah? Was Jonah satisfied when he was preaching to the Ninevites? No, or he wouldn't have ended up in the belly of a whale. Was Judas satisfied with Jesus? I doubt it, or he never would have betrayed him. And were Ananias and Sapphira satisfied with the decisions of the early church? No, or else they never would have held back their land and their money from Peter and the early church, as we read about in Acts chapter 5. Satisfaction. It's something that we all want, but something that we can't always find. Sometimes the things that we think will satisfy us are not the things that God knows will satisfy us. So if I were to do an informal straw poll, which is never a good idea, is it? But anyway, asking you about how satisfied you are with your life, with number one being completely unsatisfied and number 10 being, wow, it doesn't get any better than this, I'm completely satisfied. What number, honestly, would you give yourself? Think about that for a moment. So what is there to pray about? Why, the number that you just gave yourself. That's what there is to pray about. But for the Christian, there are a couple of ways of looking at satisfaction that someone who is not a Christian does not have to bother with. C.S. Lewis writes, and you're all signing up for the C.S. Lewis study? Yes, Pastor Dan, we are signing up for the C.S. Lewis study. C.S. Lewis writes, "The Christian way is different, harder and easier. Christ says, give me all. I don't want so much of your time and so much of your money and so much of your work. I want you. No half measures are any good. I don't want to cut off a branch here and a branch there. I want to have the whole tree down. I don't want to drill the tooth or crown it, but I want to have it out. Hand over the whole natural self, all the desires with which you think are innocent as well as the ones that you think are wicked, the whole outfit, hand them over. I will give you a new self instead. In fact," Lewis writes about Jesus, "I will give you myself. My own self shall become yours." But Jesus has already taught us these things in his word that Lewis has just stated here, right? Where Jesus says, "Don't work for the food which perishes, but for the food that endures unto eternal life, which who will give to you? The Son of Man will give to you. Do not store up for yourselves riches or treasures on earth, where moth and rust do destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. Don't put your trust and faith in those kinds of things." You see, the hard thing about Christianity is that Jesus reminds us that to be a son or daughter of God, we must put to death the superfluous and the transitory parts of our lives. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5 says, "Put to death therefore whatever belongs to your earthly nature." We all have an earthly nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. So what are these things? Why, surely these are the things that we think can somehow lead us to a satisfied life. When at the end of the day, St. Paul says, "Stick a dagger in them. Put them to death." In one of my previous churches that I pastored, the older members of the congregation were very dismayed because at one point in that community's history, it was a very settled community. And then as the years and the decades went by, that community changed into one that was much more transitory. In other words, people would move into town, they would stay for a year or two, they would rent an apartment, and then they would move on. And so their whole community, for the folks that could remember the time when it was very settled and it was more stable because it was settled, they were upset by the rather transitory nature of their community. People just coming in, staying for a little while, and then moving on, what we call the transitory things of life. And the lesson of Hannah's prayer is how to have the courage to let go of all that which is just passing on through. Yeah? To let sand pour through our fingers without trying to hold on to it. Or like the water that passes through a sieve standing at the kitchen sink. Lewis puts it this way. It is the difference between paint, and all of our trustees will love this metaphor, between paint which is merely laid on the surface, or a dye or a stain which soaks right on through. Hannah's journey is the same as ours. We are trying to let the stain of God soak right through into us, yes? Rather than being just a paint that is applied and then in inclement weather will eventually, like what we've had this week, right? If we keep getting weather like this, even the best of paints will wear and fade and peel off after a while. Hannah is encouraging us, allow God to soak into your heart and life. That's her prayer. And so what Hannah teaches us in the Old Testament is not disparate from what Jesus teaches us about satisfaction in the Gospels. You all know the verse, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. And then all these things. And then all these things shall be added unto you. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. For the Christian, seeking first God's kingdom isn't a mere part of the process of finding satisfaction. It is the process. Seeking first his kingdom, and then all these things shall be added. But what about all those things that I think should bring me satisfaction that I wouldn't necessarily identify as being a part of God's kingdom? Again, I am told, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Just do it. Yes? So we are all, including Hannah, faced with the same dilemma. How to find satisfaction in the here and now while making sure that we are pleasing God. And Hannah's prayer teaches us that the two things do not have to be mutually exclusive. And her secret? It was simply to make sure that what she wanted was in fact what God wanted. Yeah? Simple as that. Hannah wanted a baby. She did not have one, but she wanted one. She had an amazing husband who doted on her, but no child. Even with IVF, the longing of the heart is no different, is it? No. Hannah may have been childless, but she was not prayerless. Yeah. And so she brought, mark this now, my friends, she brought her pain in prayer and her longing before the Lord, just as it says we should do in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Have you got in every situation, my friends? I got in every situation. We all have them. In every situation, come before the Lord in prayer. And here's how her prayer went. And she was in bitterness of soul for the circumstances that I've described to you, that she was childless, and prayed unto the Lord. And she wept sore. What does that mean? It means she really cried hard. She really let the floodgates open. She revealed her heart to God and told him what was going on the inside of her. And she vowed a vow and said, Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a child man, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. What she recognized is that in order for her to find satisfaction, God had to be satisfied too. The two things go together. Was God satisfied with her desire for her to give her son to God? Yes, he was. And so the question for us is this. Is there something that we know that we need to give to the Lord? As difficult as that may be, in order to find our satisfaction in life. You see, the wonderful thing about Hannah is she never held back. Centuries later, when Jesus said in Luke chapter 9 and verse 62, he said, no man or no person who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Yes? Hannah understood that. She got it. She was not a wimpy believer, and she knew that she was not serving today's postmodern God of options and choices. Yes? But an exacting God who was not interested, as C.S. Lewis says, in having just a part of us, but in having all of us. She knew he wants all of us. She knew that having no son at all was the hardest and most difficult experience that a young Jewish wife could face. But she knew that giving that son away would be even harder yet. And so she found satisfaction in choosing, hear me, my friends, in choosing what was the hardest, most difficult decision possible, giving her son away to the priest Eli. Friends, don't shy away from the tough decisions that dare you to do the impossible. If you are a Christian, at some point in time, God will come to you with a difficult decision. It is a challenge in your walk with Him, if you will, to step out in faith, to God is asking us to do that which we deem to be impossible. In Hannah's case, it was the hardest, most difficult decision that cured her of her bitterness. Hannah's not alone in that. When life rubs us up the wrong way, it's easy to become bitter. Hannah's satisfaction was derived not from hanging on, but from letting go or giving back again. How do we know that Hannah had God's heart and was following His lead? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. God gave. Hannah, like Mary, that would follow her so many centuries later, gave away her firstborn son to God. If in answer to my question earlier, you scored yourself an 8 or a 9, can I see a show of hands? No, I'm just kidding. No. Remember, the higher the score, the higher you are up that satisfaction scale, if you will. Because the majority of our satisfaction in life is derived from our walk with the Lord. I say to you, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Give yourself a 7, an 8, a 9. I don't know, what is a 7? What is the equivalent of that academically? About a C plus, something like that, if you gave yourself, you know, if you like to think in academic terms. If, however, you are a 3 or a 4 below the 5, the mid-range mark, yes, because you are not doing what Hannah did and you're still desperately hanging on, then it may be the case that you still have some things to learn about the kingdom. You see, the teachings of God's only begotten Son
are at odds with the slipshod values of this world. Yes? The preacher ought to be hearing an amen on that. Yeah, amen. God doesn't need our money. I may be one of the few preachers that you'll ever hear that from. Yeah? You ain't going to hear that on TV, my friends. God doesn't need our money. God doesn't need our time. God doesn't need our work. God doesn't need our loved ones. Yeah? He just wants to see how badly you do and how willing you are at the end of the day to give all that stuff back to Him. Yeah? Transitory things of this life. Hannah prays in verse 3, talk no more exceedingly proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by Him all actions are. By Him! Your actions, my actions, are weighed. It's all about the letting go. And that's what Hannah's prayer was all about. She gets this. She gets that satisfaction is not found in all that we want to keep for ourselves. Yeah? She gets that satisfaction is not found in all that we want to keep for ourselves, but in all that we are willing to give away, to let go of back to God again. You know, several years ago, we had one of those DIY shows come to Westchester. And it was a rather big deal. I mean, camera crews and, you know, they blocked off the street. You know, Ty Pennington shouting, "Move that bus!" Yeah? I mean, it was a complete reno makeover of the house, and people gathered on the street just to gawk at this, you know? Maybe we'll catch a glimpse, you know, all the ladies, maybe we'll catch a glimpse of Ty, you know, as he goes by, something like that, you know? Everyone was gawking and ooing and awing, but I want to tell you, my friends, this morning, that no amount of hammering or painting, you see, sadly, could keep that family together, because shortly after they wrapped up production, that couple split. Oh God, give us small, humble houses and marriages that last 50 or 60 years. Yeah? What Hannah realizes is that we only really have our children for a short time, and then they're gone. Yeah? But isn't that true of all relationships? We have our parents for a time, a season, and then they're gone. We have our spouses for a time, a season, and then they are gone. We have our work, our influence, our contribution to make for a time, a season, and then it is a gone. I like to call this the upside down values of God. Upside down to us, but not to Him. No. We see it over and over again all throughout Scripture, not just in Hannah's prayer. God has these upside down and backward values that He feels that we should embrace too if we're going to be like Him and satisfied in life. He says things like, turn the other cheek. Say, what? He says, forgive others as I have forgiven you. Tall order. Love those who hate you and despitefully use you and say all manner of nasty things about you. Don't worry. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25. Hey, if the birds of the air have enough, what are you worrying about? Don't doubt. Love your neighbor in the same way that you love yourself. These are all upside down and backwards values, but Hannah understood that if she were to find satisfaction, she too was going to have these values too. What Hannah knew about finding satisfaction was simply this. Whatever you give to God, my friends, you never lose. You never lose. She ended up giving her son, Samuel, to the priest Eli, but she never lost him. You know, she gave him to God. It's never lost.
And the work of Samuel the prophet, her son, turned out to be great and mighty because she gave him to God. He kept the Israelites together even after they were defeated by the Philistines. He was the prophet who could make her son Samuel. He could make and he could unmake the kings of Israel, as was the case with Saul. And in that famous visit to Jesse's house in 1 Samuel chapter 16, he anointed, he poured out the oil upon David to be king of Israel. Without Hannah praying so desperately for a son, there would have been no Samuel. And without finding her satisfaction in God's will, she never would have been able to give him to Eli, the priest, to serve there in the temple. And without Samuel's prophetic ministry, there would have been no King David. And without King David, there would have been no royal line. And without no royal line, there would have been no lineage to bring us the Messiah, who was born of the house and lineage of David. And without that royal line, there would have been no Savior to save us from our sins. Are your prayers important? Think about how important Hannah's prayer was all those centuries before Messiah came. And so what about you? Are you praying Hannah's prayer? Have you embraced those same upside down values that she had? Have you found your satisfaction in God alone? Hannah's prayer was simply this: Lord, if you grant my prayer, I will give what my heart, and we all have things in our hearts that we long for, I will give it back to you again. Why? Because she knew, I can be completely satisfied in you, God. What's there to pray about? What is there to pray about? Pray that no matter what life sends your way, that you will always be satisfied in God, as Hannah was. So may we be. Amen.